10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Kentucky Derby Countdown Show, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's all street sense drawing away.
It is all Barbaro in a sublime performance.
Giacomo in the final stride to win Derby 131.
Also sponsored by Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Claiborne Farm, Equibase, Owner View, Ramsey Farm, Spendthrift Farm, TwinSpires.com, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, West Point Thoroughbreds, Windstar Farm, and ExpressBet.
Animal Kingdom wins the Derby! Super Favor wins the Derby!
Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses!
And up the line, I'll have another, wins the Derby, but it is all to win the Derby! But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby!
Now, here's Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, Jeff Bloom, and Sean Clancy.
The post positions have been drawn, the morning line has been assigned, and we are edging closer to Kentucky Derby 141 here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome to the Derby Countdown Show, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns, live from the backside of Churchill Downs, literally about 30 yards from this historic main track, where history will once again be made shortly after 6:30 Eastern Time on Saturday afternoon. A gray, overcast morning, temperatures in the mid-50s, a bit of sprinkle from time to time, but it is not raining, which is a good sign. The main track is fast. The Derby and Oaks horses will make their way onto this main track right around 8:30 Eastern time this morning to make their final preparations. It's going to be an amazing Kentucky Derby, one of the deepest fields we've seen in quite some time, and we're going to have that coverage for you right here on HRRN. We continue here this morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, JT, Jude Feld. He has all kinds of names. He's with me as well. Wasn't with us yesterday, so it's nice to have him back in the mix. The voice of Keeneland Racecourse, Kurt Becker, is here. Retired jockey, now racehorse owner. That's Jeff Bloom. He is with us. And our champion jockey and the dreamy one, Sean Clancy, also with us. But by the way, not the dreamiest member of our team today. The dreamy one has some competition because Miss Connecticut, Acacia Courtney, is standing by with us here today as well. So the gang is here. All of our broadcast team together again.
Yeah, I don't know what the scoop is with Clancy, but I'm beginning to think he's like the Beetlebum of our team because it's and Sean Clancy. So, you know, and Beetlebum.
Hey, I'll take whatever you want to call me. I'm here. We're Churchill Downs, Derby Week. Good to be here.
I said dreamy one, right? Mm-hmm. I got that one right. Kurt Becker, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Long night for Kurt.
Yeah, Jeff Bloom. Boy, what a setting out here.
And last but not least. Yeah, it is a setting. I mean, it's just a virtual sea of humanity, wall-to-wall people, and it's very difficult, even as close as we are to the track, to get a view of any horses going by, as this place is packed full.
Acacia, welcome to the team. Happy to have you on board. You'll be part of our coverage tomorrow for the Kentucky Oaks, and, of course, moving forward Saturday for the Kentucky Derby, and welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. This is actually my first time in Kentucky, so my first time at the Derby as well. And I'm kind of having a little bit of a fangirl moment because the mornings at the track are my favorite anyway. And like they were saying, we're here in Kentucky. You can't get any better than this.
The fangirl moment because you're standing next to me?
Obviously.
Us, buddy, us. Come on, Mike.
I mean, we got the dreamy over here. We got all these
more like people. Surrounded by us.
There's no I in team.
Yeah.
The rose between five thorns. Actually, six if you include Chauncey over here. So, all right, look, post positions drawn yesterday. We had that coverage here on the network. And a couple of notable things that developed there. American Pharoah, the 5-2 morning line favorite, no surprise there. However, he does draw outside post 18. A couple of horses that maybe didn't draw so well. Carpe Diem, 8-1 on the morning line. The Bluegrass Stakes winner gets post position number 2. Materiality, the undefeated Florida Derby winner, he gets post position number 3. JT, what do you think?
Well, you know, you got to run from where you're drawn. I mean, it's not ideal, but we'll see what happens. I don't think I would wail and gnash my teeth about being in the two or three hole. I mean, it's not what you'd really like, but, you know, sometimes post position doesn't really even make a difference. I remember when Big Brown drew the 20 hole and everybody said, well, that eliminates his chances. As far as I know, his name's on a derby glass. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Kurt, what stood out to you at last night's draw?
The fact that Carpe Diem drew the two hole, and the reason being he's certainly a legitimate horse, and because he's got John Velasquez on him, the thing I thought about for the last couple of weeks was, would love to see this horse draw toward the middle or the outside and see Johnny V give him a classic John Velasquez ride like he did on Animal Kingdom a few years ago. You know, just keep him out there in the clear, keep him out of trouble around both turns, and then he should have been in that stalking position, one would have thought, to make the first run about the time they get to the 3/8 or the quarter pole. And now this changes everything to me. I mean, it just doesn't fit the scenario for the horse. It doesn't fit the scenario really for the rider. And then the other factor, which Jeff Bloom referred to, Jeff, is the fact that this is a horse who tends to get pretty high strung. So you've got the gate loading process and how long he might have to stand in that gate.
Yeah, there's no question. That's a big negative, the wait time that they're standing around in the starting gate. I think one of the, you know, there's so many moving pieces to handicapping these races. And I think more than anything else, number 10, Firing Line, drew very well. You know, here's a horse that really hard to make a decision as to what to do with, you know, very close to beating Dortmund. But I know Gary Stevens is extremely confident in how this horse is coming into the race. And if you want to talk about an ideal post position for a horse in the race, I think it was number 10, Firing Line.
John, I know you weren't here last night for our coverage, but you did chip in late last night. Your thoughts on what you saw here with the post position?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we've talked about, the inside is, as all these guys always talk about, it's having options. You know, when you're inside like that, your options are limited. With speed horses, you're going to have to try to get your position. You know, a lot of it's not as, it's as much about post position as also who's around you. So, you know, if the inside horse is speed and the next inside horse is speed and you can feather over, you know, that's important. So, you know, if you're drawn next to a horse that's basically trying to have the same position you're having, that's a problem. So when you look at the 20, as a jockey, you look and see who's outside you, who's inside you, and where you can get your spot. These guys are very good. They can work out a trip, but what they'll look at is, okay, do I have speed inside me? Is he going to go? Do I have a closer behind me? What's he going to do? And then you try to just create a little bubble for yourself from where you want to be. Obviously, inside, you don't have that many options. Outside, you have more options at least to try to go or come back, but you're going to lose ground. So Carpe Diem, those horses, definitely not a benefit being down there. I don't think anything else is that dramatic as far as post positions.
Acacia, I know you do a little handicapping from time to time as well. Anything there that might have changed your opinion from what we saw in that post position draw?
Kind of to echo, I was kind of sad to see Carpe Diem get the post that he did, but one of the horses that has really intrigued me a lot is Mukhtahij. And I know that he's had some issues with his diet and the food that he's been eating because of the regulations. He hasn't been able to get his normal feed when he's been shipped over here to the United States, but I do think that the sixth spot is pretty good for him, and we'll be interested to see how he does. I've been an American Pharoah fan, and he'll probably have his work cut out for him coming from the 18 spot for a little bit, but I do think that Victor Espinoza, his jockey, will be able to guide him and set him up in a good spot where he'll be able to be where he needs to be and get that last little kick in.
All of those questions going to be answered shortly after 6:30 Eastern Time Saturday afternoon. You're going to hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, so stay with us all the way through. Greg Blasi, the lead outrider here at Churchill Downs, has stopped by for a couple of minutes. A lot of people don't understand what goes on behind the scenes, so to speak, at the Kentucky Derby. And, Greg, I appreciate the time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right, I throw that term out there, lead outrider. First of all, what is it that you do, and tell me about your role?
We're basically like a somebody that like a lifeguard at a swimming pool. Somebody gets in trouble, it's our job to you know, help them. And we're on horseback, so we got to, you know, ride horses, and that's what we do.
You've been doing this an awful long time.
So yeah, this will be my 16th Derby.
16th Derby. All right, what is it about the Derby? What's your role in the Kentucky Derby?
Basically, it's our job. We have to get the horses to the gates on time. We have to make sure everything goes, you know, according to, like, you know, and I got NBC in my ear, so they, you know, they're always, you know, they want things a certain way. They want the post parade, all that. So, you know, that's just what we do and make sure everything goes safely.
I know on any post parade, oftentimes a trainer will tell a jockey, hey, keep this horse away from the other horses, or the jockey wants to warm it up a little bit different. I would imagine that can be kind of a challenge in the Kentucky Derby where the time constraints are so specific and you've got NBC in your ear. How do you control that?
It's really tough. In the past, we've had, you know, horses that have requested ahead of time. And as long as, you know, the trainers come to you, you know, I mean, you got to do what's best for the horse. That's why we're out there. That's what the, you know, that's what it's all about, are the horses. So, you know, we do what we can to accommodate them. They don't like for them to break post parade, but, you know, like I said, it's my call eventually, or, you know, the other guys I work with, if they see something they don't like, you know, we just make a judgment call on based on the horses.
As a guy who outworked his two-year-old filly at Santa Anita on the training track one time, the outrider is really your friend. What's the craziest thing that's happened to you in your 16 years of Derby?
Probably when the horse flipped over the rail and got in the grandstands and was in the boxes and then ran back into the grandstands. And actually, we had to chase that one on foot. So, but anyway, that was probably the craziest thing that's happened like Derby week.
You mentioned the lifeguard aspect, and I have not so much a question but an observation, and just kudos to what you all do, because I saw a situation here just recently. It wasn't here at Churchill's, down the road at Keeneland. Race unfolds, and a horse unseats the rider in the course of the race. Race ends, got the loose horse behind the pack, got the gallop out heading down to the first turn. Here you've got the loose horse. Here comes an outrider, full bore, grabs that horse, gets him pulled up before there's an incident down the first turn. There are so many things like this that I think sometimes people don't even notice, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that they don't have an incident to notice, but hats off for the job.
Well, thank you. And that's kind of that's the way we like to look at it. If people don't notice this, everything's went good. The mornings are actually more hectic than the afternoon. The afternoons are a little easier just because everything's kind of in a set order and stuff. But, you know, just like that, you got to be careful. You don't want to injure another jockey just to catch a loose horse. But, you know, we have a really good team here that, you know, I worked with a long time, Lee Lockwood, a guy I've worked with for over 8 years. And then we bring an extra guy in. And then so we have a really good crew. And just work together, and that's the main thing. You got to work together.
I do have one question, actually, now that I think about it. For those of us who work in this industry, have no horsemanship, never been on horseback, and are, frankly, intimidated by horses, what advice can you give a
guy like... You mean scared to death.
what advice can you give a guy like me? Would you encourage someone like myself to take up, just for pleasure purposes, horseback riding?
If you're scared to death, no. Because there's surely another hobby that you would enjoy a lot more than doing something that you're scared to death of. And I'll be honest with you, people that are scared, and you see it, that they've been doing it a long time, something's happened to them, they get hurt, and then they're scared, chances are you're going to get hurt more. And I've seen it a lot in my career, and you're better off take up fishing or, you know, canoeing or something.
Do you have a favorite Derby memory?
Probably I would say when Calvin won his first Derby.
Okay.
And just, you know, to see that kind of what it meant to him. Of course he's won a couple since then, and you know, my friends back home like the one where he kissed me on the mouth right on TV. So back in Oklahoma, they thought that was pretty funny. Text message. I guess the fact to see, you know, somebody that's worked as hard as he had, which they all do. But, you know, Calvin rides here. He's a locally based jockey. You know, we're around him every day, even on the $5,000 claimers to the. So I guess, you know, probably him winning his first Derby and, you know, me getting to take him back. And, you know, that was kind of special to me.
And, of course, that was in 2007 with Street Sense, the first of three for Hall of Fame jockey Calvin Burrell. Greg, really do appreciate all the time here this morning. I know you have to get back to work.
I appreciate you letting Sean come clean the rest of my stall.
I've done that. I'm good at it. Instant gratification. It's not a bad gift.
Greg Blasi here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. One of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. And let's face it. That is one of the more underrated jobs around the racetrack. I think outriders and
the folks that work the starting gate are two completely overlooked aspects of this game.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, Jerry Davis, a longtime outrider on the West Coast, his favorite expression was, if you're an outrider, no business is good business. And there's nothing they like better than just to sit there at the quarter pole on their ponies and do nothing all day, because that means there were no incidents.
Sean, you can attest to this as a rider. We talked about, you know, sort of overseeing things if there's a loose horse. But as a rider, sometimes, you know, you're having a very difficult time with your horse, and you may be away from your pony horse or whatever. Sometimes it might just be trying to get your horse to pull up. They're trying to bolt after the race. And so those outriders are on top of everything. They're not just sort of monitoring how the post parade's going, but they're making sure that a rider's in control of their horse. And if not, they're there to help you as soon as possible.
Yeah, listen, those are the guys, when you hear the siren or you hear somebody yelling and screaming, the rest of us are going one direction, they're going the other direction, they're going into it. So they're brave, they're tough, and as a jockey, believe me, you look every once in a while, you look over and you're glad they're there. There was a picture the other day on the internet, it's of Greg, and the horse is running loose without a bridle, and he's running his pony at the horse, and he's got had a stirrup leather from that he has just in case of that moment. And he's leaning over trying to get the leather strap around the horse's neck to pull him up. And they're brave, they're tough, and we're all lucky to have them.
Just about 14 minutes away from the Oaks and Derby horses making their way onto this Churchill main track at 8:30 Eastern. The track is reserved only for Oaks and Derby horses. We're going to bring you up to the minute reports on how everybody looks. Sean and Jeff Bloom will be trackside, so we will get you to that when we come back. We're going to step away for a quick break. This is the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Make plans now to attend the National Thoroughbred Owner Conference taking place at beautiful Gulfstream Park in South Florida, January 11th through 14th, the same week of the 2015 Eclipse Awards. Enjoy a great lineup of speakers and panelists, fabulous social events, and live racing at Gulfstream. Plus, you'll meet celebrity owners and successful thoroughbred owners from around the country. If you missed the inaugural owner conference at Keeneland, you won't want to miss this one. Visit ownerview.com to register today. That's ownerview.com.
Hello, this is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
New to Ecobase.com and just in time for the Oaks and Derby Day Pass plans that will save you money. Each Day Pass plan provides unlimited race day access. Pick up a PP Day Pass and enjoy PPs for as little as 29 cents per card. Bronze, silver, and gold passes are also available and include a variety of products, including PPs and selections for one low price. Just looking to play Churchill this weekend? With a daily Churchill Downs track pass, you get 8 different products for just $20. Select the money-saving Day Pass that's right for you at Ecobase.com.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His 3 first crop stakes winners in 2015 are more than any other second crop sire in the U.S., highlighted by the Kentucky Oaks-bound Lovely Maria, dominant winner of Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland Stakes.
Lovely Maria for Kerwin Boo Boo Clark, opening up by a length and a half.
Brilliant on the track and an emerging star at stud. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Kentucky Oaks, 141.
And racing towards a life, believe you can, wins the Oaks for Rosina Pravnik. Princess of Silmar for a shot at 36-1 in the Kentucky Oaks.
She is unstoppable. She is uncatchable. She is untappable. She wins the Kentucky Oaks.
Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by TwinSpires.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There's a new leader at the top of the stretch. It's American Pharoah.
putting away Bridget's Big Lovey. Mr. Z moves into second. On the outside, Win the Space and the Truth or Else. There's an eighth of a mile to go, and American Pharoah is putting on a show. He has not been asked the question, but everyone knows the answer. He is indeed the ruler, American Pharoah. Breathtaking in a mesmerizing performance as he dominates the Arkansas Derby. Far Right was second. Mr. Z in a battle with Made from Lucky and Bold Conquest. That is one special horse.
American Pharoah, special indeed. Frank Miramonte with the call of the Arkansas Derby. He absolutely annihilated the field that day. And because of how brilliant American Pharoah has been throughout much of his career, he is the 5-2 morning line favorite for this year's Run for the Roses. Of course, the race set to go at 6:34 Eastern time on Saturday. We'll have that coverage for you right here on HRRN. So make us your home. Of course, a lot of things to get to before the Derby. We have our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks tomorrow afternoon. Another Derby countdown show coming your way tomorrow morning. And, of course, our Equine Forum show that comes up on Saturday morning, which, by the way, presented by our friends at farmpaint.com. You can check out a complete broadcast schedule, horseracingradio.net. The gang's all here. We are live from the backside of Churchill Downs, just about 10 minutes away from the moment when the Oaks and Derby horses will step onto the track to make some of those final preparations. Lucky Calanges is here from twinspires.com, and he has some exciting news. Of course, twinspires.com, the official wagering site of the Kentucky Derby. Lucky, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Happy to have you on board, and happy Derby week.
It's going to be a great Derby week. It's an exciting Derby week. We're really pumped up about it here at Twin Spires. Of course, we're the official online wagering site of Churchill Downs, and it's our biggest day of the year. And we got some other exciting news as well. We have 12 players who are alive for $1 million prize in our Road to the Kentucky Derby Showdown. So, we brought a couple of them with us today, too, to check out the horses on the backside.
And you heard me mention our Kentucky Oaks coverage tomorrow, and then, of course, our coverage of the Derby Day undercard, which kicks off at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. All of that coverage presented by TwinSpires.com, and thank you for all your support.
Oh, no problem. We appreciate everything you're doing for us. And, we got the guys in with the HRRN bet back, getting your money back, and we'll be doing that again for the Oaks and Derby.
How cool is that? You and I talk about that a lot, Kurt. You and I have talked about it on the show. The HRM bet back, it's a free wager. It's a free $14 bet because if you don't win your bet, Twin Spires refunds your money.
Yeah, it's one of the best deals in racing. I can't imagine why people don't take more advantage of it.
That was Lucky's brainchild. He came up with that idea.
It was brilliant, actually. Very, very,
appreciate
very, very smart.
So tell me about the Twin Spires Showdown.
So the showdown we've been doing, this is like the fourth year we've done it. It's a show betting contest, $20 to show, and we start with the Road to the Kentucky Derby Championship Series races. We started back in February with the Withers Stakes and the Robert Lewis. So players have to place a single $20 show wager on 20 races, and if they cash a winner in every race, they win or split $1 million. Nobody has really gotten past Florida Derby week up to this year, and remarkably this year we have 12 players who have gone 19 for 19. It's been a pretty chalky year. I think only three favorites have run out, and the big turning point of the whole series probably was the Spiral. I think last year the Spiral Stakes eliminated 49 out of 50 live players. This year there are 43 live going into the Spiral. And even though the favor ran out, 14 survived. Wow. I think all of them were on Mike Smith and Conquest Typhoon. And from that point, only two others have been eliminated, and we're down to 12 right now.
And you have a couple of the 12 with you here this morning. I'm going to let you introduce them. I think they just stepped away here for a minute, but we'll grab them and get them over here. Yeah, I'll let you do the honors here. And
this is Charles Carnish. He's one of our finalists.
Charles, congratulations on being alive to this point.
Well, thank you. It was pretty easy, really, to tell you the truth. I think, 90% of the favorites won the races. There was only, two or three, you had to fret over a little bit because they were, I think the Spiral Stakes was one of them. There was three horses, 3-1, so you got to separate them. So there's obviously a lot of luck.
Come on, Charles, don't be so humble. There's only 12 of you left. It couldn't be that easy.
Well, like I said, there was two or three races that separated. There was only I think he was saying there's only three of the 19 where the favorite ran out. And then they were huge favorites. And then you had so many that were one, like 1-9 on a Pharaoh. And then you had Dortmund 2-5 and Carpe Diem was 1-2. I mean, you know, those are kind of no-brainers, right? I mean,
was that your strategy going in to like pick the chalky horse?
No, just pick the horse you know that you feel like would be in the money, and you know, just the one that was the most solid to be in the money.
Charles, two questions.
Yes,
for you.
Yes, sir.
The first one: how long have you been a horse player? And the second, given the depth of this crop this year, who do you like in the
market? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's. I mean. It's only, it's got to be between three horses. I mean, I think there's only three horses that can win. You know, the Carpe horse, the Dortmund, and the Pharaoh. I mean, one of those three have to win, I think.
How long have you been playing the game?
My whole life.
And where are you? Are you from the Louisville?
I'm here. I'm from Louisville.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right, now you're with a couple of your competitors over here.
Well,
right?
Not
you're
really
not letting them in on your strategy, are you?
No, we're really not competitors. We're on the same team. We can all share.
I
mean, it's not like, you know, we all couldn't play the same horse if you come in. So
sure.
Not competing against each other.
Charles, I appreciate it. Who else is here with you?
We got Kristen Stwedel. She's also Steedley.
Right.
Kristen?
My bad.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Welcome to the program. Happy
Thank
to have you.
You
on board, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. We need all the luck we can get.
Who's the horse to beat?
That's the question.
That's why I asked it.
I just need to know who needs to show is all I really care about, to be honest. But I don't know. Obviously, we're on the big ones.
Yeah, so as Lucky just mentioned, only 12 still remaining. You're one
Hard
of the dozen finalists. What's been the secret?
Be consistent and don't go with trying to make more money. That's been really the key. We tried to play this last year, and I was out probably the second round because I tried to make money. Funny thing how that doesn't work in this contest. Because this time it was all mostly favorites that came along. So
contests are different than traditional handicapping. Playing in a contest is a whole different mindset.
It is. It has different.
And you picked up on it fast, but a lot of people have been playing contests for a long time and don't quite get the concept.
This is the first contest I've ever done. And my dad and I picked them together. He mostly picked them, to be honest, but he didn't even know we were in a contest, really. He just knew we were doing 20-meter show betting.
When you go to the races, what's your type of betting? What do you usually do when you're not playing in this contest?
We do try boxes and show box, probably super boxes usually, and sometimes like pick threes and pick fours. That's usually how we bet.
So you're an exotics player.
I guess so. That sounds really exotic, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, so show betting really is not that exotic.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, Kristen, good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
And
Thank
one
you
more
so much.
Lucky, who rounds out the trifecta for you here this morning?
Let's see, James Levine, but I think he might have
stepped
away at this point. Yeah, he's another local player.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
Kristen.
I think so. We got some horses on the track, so I think he probably made his way to the rail.
Yeah, he has to figure out who he's going to put in that show wager.
That's definitely. He's got priorities.
Again, we'll encourage people to go to twinspires.com if you want to play the HRRN bet back on the Oaks and the Derby. We're going to have one on each. You can go to twinspires.com/HRRN for details. I really do appreciate it, my friend.
No problem.
Keep
Thank
up
you
the good
much.
Work. We'll talk to you in the next couple of days.
Thank you.
All right, Lucky Calanges here from TwinSpires.com. Horses are on the track. We're going to step away for a quick break. We'll come back and get you to it. This is the Kentucky Derby Countdown Show. I can actually say that, believe it or not. Breeders' Cup, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies, or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Spendthrift's Share the Upside program is producing Kentucky Derby starters.
Firing Line, a Son of Spendthrift Stallion line of David.
Firing Line by 15 lengths.
Bolo by Temple City.
Bolo absolutely annihilated them.
And Ten Sendur, a Son of Warrior's Reward.
Ten Sendur turns for home in front.
All three Derby starters from their first crop of three-year-olds. Share the upside at the Derby. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Ramsey Farms Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A two-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that's come down to a bomb.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million, an earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for 12,500 at Ramsey Farm.
ExpressBet's free Kentucky Derby wagering guide is the best place to begin your attack on the Run for the Roses. It's free, informative, and available online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 24th. NBC's Bob Neumeier and Mike Battaglia, Santa Anita's John White and Jeff Siegel, Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi, and At the Races radio host Steve Bick deliver main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies for the big race. Plus, you get intriguing stats and trends, and know this, facts and figures. This season, the guide will be updated following the post-position draw and include noted clocker Gary Young's outstanding workout analysis. ExpressBet's free Kentucky Derby wagering guide is one piece of the Derby puzzle you don't want to miss. Go to ExpressBet.com to get the guide, to open a new account, and to get a $125 bonus in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, Sean Clancy, Jeff Bloom, back with you on the Derby Countdown Show, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's, live from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Gray, overcast morning, temperatures in the mid-50s, a few sprinkles of rain throughout the morning, but it is a fast main track, and that is where the Oaks and Derby contenders find themselves right now. The crowd here on the backside has made their way up to the rail, everybody with their cameras, their cell phones up in the air, snapping pictures as they come by. And Sean Clancy and Jeff Bloom are trackside. Sean, let's start with you. What can you tell us?
Well, we just had the onslaught of the Oaks and Derby horses. Bolo just went past me. He's a pretty horse, just galloping nicely. El Kabir's gone by. Dortmund has gone by. Frost is just galloping past me right now. Was anxious to see American Pharaoh. He galloped past me. Beautiful move, real light on his feet. Very different than his entry mate, Dortmund. Dortmund's a much bigger, stronger, brawnier type horse. But you know, very different. I mean, it's interesting to see the two horses, two favorites from the same barn, but very different types, very different styles as they gallop past us in the morning. Danzig Moon going past right now. They, you know, for the most part, it's Thursday, so you know the major stuff's done. You just want to go out here and easy works, and so far everybody's just galloping nicely.
Jeff Bloom is over at the other gap. Jeff, what can you tell us?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the breeder of Dortmund, Amelia Fjord, got very emotional as she was watching her colt come onto the track, broke out in a tear, and got a lot of hugs from the folks around. It's very crowded over here by the main gap, the Team Zayat and Bob Baffert crew. American Pharaoh, as Sean referred to, is just such a beautiful mover, as good as he looked yesterday. I would say he looked twice as good today, cruising past me. As Sean mentioned, most of the horses, you know, were just a couple of days away from the big race, so they're out here for just what we'd call a regular gallop. But El Kabir, when he was going by, I would say he was almost in what you'd call an open gallop, just a step below, going through kind of a light breeze, really moving well today on the track. And Dortmund, just a big monstrous stride cruising around the track. The horse probably taking the biggest hold of any rider that I've seen go past us so far is definitely American Pharaoh. His rider's got his hands down at the back of the neck, just really keeping him in control. There goes Bolo, just cruising past, just kind of in a nice leisurely gallop. Dortmund just going past us again, really just down, you know, his exercise rider, Dana Barnes, was in the middle of the track the first lap around. Now she's right up against the fence, and he's just kind of in the latter part of his extended gallop here. Here's El Kabir just cruising off the track, his trainer, John Terranova, walking with him, and the horse on his toes and walking amongst a very large crowd in the viewing area here by the gap.
You heard Jeff Bloom mention a moment ago, Amelia Fojan, the breeder of Dortmund. That's one of the great stories of the Kentucky Derby this year. You know, we don't always talk. We talk about trainers and jockeys and owners. We don't always talk about breeders. This is a game that tends to be dominated by the large farms, you know, the 2,000 to 3,000 acre operations that have hundreds of mares and the high profile stallions. And, you know, no knock on them. I mean, that's great. They make a huge investment. But Amelia Fojan has a farm in Georgetown, Kentucky, right outside Lexington. She's got three people on her staff. She only breeds just a few horses each year. What a thrill for the smaller-sized operation to have a horse who's not only in the Derby, but breeder of one of the leading Kentucky Derby contenders.
Yeah, it's a great story. So many great stories surrounding this year's Derby. Let's go back out to Sean and get a report on what's happening trackside.
I just saw Firing Line go past. Yeah, he actually gallops in draw reins, which are kind of extended reins. They go from the girth through the bit back up to the rider's hands. He's taking a hold, but in a nice style, actually. Looks pretty good. Condo Commando, Kentucky Oaks filly, just gone by with Rudy Rodriguez, a trainer. She's a handful. Moob Tahij going past me now from Dubai, anxious to see him. He's just jogging past us as he goes. Just goes past me. He's okay. You're not a big grand type. Wouldn't really knock your socks off as he went past me. I'd be anxious to see him gallop. Larry Jones coming past me now. You can recognize him every time he goes by. Bolo going home. He's a pretty horse. Larry Jones, I'm a chatterbox going past. Typical Larry Jones style. He's kind of a big man standing up on a little filly. We've seen that before. Don't knock it. Fromento on the also eligibles for Nick Zito going past. He looked fine. It's a knockout for Todd Pletcher's going past. I saw materiality for Pletcher. He went by earlier. He actually looked okay as well.
Jeff?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as all the Derby horses are cruising past us in their second round on the track. I'd have to say, really, the winner of best-looking horse in terms of getting over the track today might be Firing Line, just really in a nice fluid motion, taking a really nice, good, strong hold of his rider, but doing it the right way. Moob Tahij, you know, I thought looked really good on the racetrack today. Oftentimes when horses are in unfamiliar territory, before they figure out where they're at, they just kind of go around there focused, and he seemed a little less focused today, kind of looking at the crowd a little bit when he broke away from his pony. He seemed to be, I would call it maybe slightly tentative, but right literally in front of Dortmund and exercise rider Dana Barnes as we speak, and the groom of Dortmund grabbed a hold of him to walk him off the track, and assistant Jimmy Barnes alongside on the pony, and Dortmund couldn't be any more composed coming off the track, just kind of giving the eye to the rest of the crowd, but really, really in good shape and handling himself very well. There's Keen Ice going past us, and as well, Materiality really looking like he's moving out fantastic on the racetrack right now with his second lap around, taking a good strong hold of his rider.
Materiality is a horse that is undefeated and one of two undefeated horses in this year's Derby, along with Dortmund. And Jude, we've heard some good things about Materiality throughout the week. He drew post position number 3 last evening. Probably not the best post for him, but he's doing very, very well.
Yeah, he's a very nice horse. He's got a lot of talent, but he has the Apollo jinx. That's the fact that in over a century, a horse that hasn't raced as a 2-year-old has not won the Kentucky Derby. That's a big thing to overcome. Also, the 3-hole, that's another stepping stone block for him. But I think he's got a lot of talent. And, you know, you never know, a horse that's undefeated can continue to do great things.
Yeah. So.
And there's been so much talk about the other unbeaten horse early in the campaign, Dortmund, from the barn of trainer Bob Baffert. And it's a testament to the depth of this crop. Here's a horse, Dortmund, who's done everything he needs to do. No one's ever beaten him. He gets here. He has to take second-class citizen status to his stablemate, American Pharaoh. Is Dortmund a horse who, despite being unbeaten, could he end up, Jude, going off at, relatively speaking, a nice price for a horse of his caliber?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll probably be an overlaid horse. it's funny about Dortmund. People either love him or hate him.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing for a horse that's never lost. A lot of times in this game, especially recently, the minute a horse loses a race, everybody jumps ship like a rat, you know. But here's a horse that hasn't done anything wrong. He's a beautiful horse. He's got a Hall of Fame trainer, and he's not really being talked about. So it's probably good to fly under the radar a little bit.
Given your California roots, regarding Dortmund, I want to ask you something about the way this horse moves. In the Santa Anita Derby, Trevor Denman, the longtime track caller, he doesn't need a teletimer to tell him how the pace is unfolding. He's a guy that keeps his eyes on the field through binoculars. He makes his own judgment call. And he does it very well. This horse seems to be deceptive. I saw where someone kind of took a cheap shot at Trevor, and they commented, oh, well, he said, you know, the opening quarter was leisurely. Well, it comes up 22 seconds and change. My response to that is baloney. Trevor knew what he was looking at, and when he looked through the binoculars, and you watch the field, the horse looks like he's just kind of loping along, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And when he gets asked a little bit, he takes off like a shot. And you got to love that. I mean, I love the explosiveness that this horse has when it's time to run. And you don't see that in a lot of horses. I realize his stablemate is very fluid and handsome. But you've got a guy like Humphrey Bogart, you know, and you got a guy like Fred Astaire, you know.
Love it.
So yeah, you got the hard worker,
sure.
Blue-collar
yeah.
horse, Dortmund. You've got the guy that's light on his feet. Both great. But in their own way.
Right.
So it's going to be a great matchup, I think.
The Oaks and Derby horses continuing to stretch their legs on a overcast Thursday morning here on Derby Week at Churchill Downs. Sean Clancy, Jeff Bloom, let's go back out to them.
I just saw Upstart go past. He's a little later than the other ones backed up and just kind of broke into his canter. What a beautiful mover. He just floats over the ground, real light on his feet. Moved Tahish going past me now. He had a nice gallop. Again, he doesn't really wow you looking at him, but he looks fine. He's traveled a long way. He's carrying enough weight, I'd say. He looks okay as he's going past. Condo Commando just finishing up her gallop, and she's heading home. And it's a little quiet. It's funny. It's a big rush right when the gap opens, and then all of a sudden it's over. But so far, so good as far as everybody's training. I wouldn't really say it. I'd seen any negatives today.
Sean, you had mentioned Upstart just a moment ago. I want to follow up with you there because yesterday our colleague Jeff Bloom had made a very similar observation that he liked how Upstart was getting over the racetrack here. I know the horse drew way toward the outside, but in your estimation, at least as far as the exotics, your trifectas, your superfectas, does one overlook Upstart at his peril?
I think he's a nice horseman. I like that he's been battle-tested. He's gone to the Breeders' Cup last year. He's had tough races this year. I like his style. I like his conformation. He's kind of a light horse. It looks, you know, light on his feet. He looks like he's maneuverable. It's not like you've got a big, clunky horse. It's one-dimensional. Obviously, the post doesn't help. But, you know, if he can feather in a little bit from there, just depending on who's around him, he's a nice horse. I know they loved him as a two-year-old at Saratoga last year. Rodney Payne was getting on him for Rick Violet, and he pulled up. I kind of looked at him, and I remember him pointing down at the horses, kind of pointed at his withers and said, this is the one, and I've watched him ever since. Nice horse.
Jeff, who's coming by your way?
Yeah, just a moment ago, Carpe Diem was quite a handful for his rider, just really trying to get away, a little bit rank, kind of sort of turning sideways and doing a little bit more. So, you know, I'd say out of most of the horses here, as Sean said, they've kind of just gone around. They're very professionally Carpe Diem, just a little bit of a handful for his rider. And yeah, to echo the comments again about Upstart, when Upstart was jogging past after his gallop here down the main part of the backstretch, I mean, he could not have been striding out any better. I'd say one of the horses that's definitely, you know, peaking extremely well. There goes Upstart, going by just again, went out late yesterday and finishing up late here again today. And certainly Rick Violet's got to be very pleased with how this horse is coming into the race. As Sean mentioned, it's maybe just one or two horses left. I see a pink saddle tail on the other side of the racetrack indicating there's an Oaks horse left and maybe one Kentucky Derby horse. And the second part of the day's training for the regular horse are getting ready to come out. And it looks like Bob Baffert's got a number of horses that are coming out to train because his crew is still standing out here waiting for the track to open for the again, the regular horses, if you will, to come out here and train.
Well, you heard Jeff talk about Carpe Diem and how he was a bit keyed up here this morning, and that is one of the main concerns with Carpe Diem. We talked about it on this program yesterday. Can he keep it together mentally? Kurt, you were there to call the Bluegrass Stakes, and he was very keyed up in the paddock. He got out to the post parade, calmed down a little bit, but with 150,000 plus here on Saturday afternoon and all the noise, all the commotion, it's the first time he'll be in that setting. How will he handle that? Now he has to go into the number two post position as well and stand in the starting gate for a longer period of time. Not good for a horse that tends to be a bit keyed up.
Well, I'll say this. He's got the benefit of having a Hall of Fame jockey in John Velasquez. And one of the things that was noticeable on Bluegrass Day, from my vantage point in the announcer's booth, what I will do is I will look at the television monitor to watch as they give the call for riders up and start making notes about the silks and so on and so forth. And the horse, Carpe Diem, he did. As Johnny V climbed aboard and got the leg up, Carpe Diem wheeled around, kind of swung his back end into the crowd, and people began to scatter. The thing I noticed, and to me this is one of the most beautiful things about an experienced jockey, is the fact that John Velasquez kept a smile on his face. He kept very calm. He didn't start fighting the horse or any of this kind of thing. So at least in that regard, he's got a guy in the saddle who knows how to deal with it.
Yeah, well, there's probably no jockey better in the world than John Velasquez. And if I was going to draw the two-hole in the Derby, he would absolutely be the guy that I would want because he's so cool. He's not going to let the two-hole rattle him. He may not love it, but he's going to go out there and he's going to work out the best possible trip that he can from that post position. And that's one of the beauties when you use John Velasquez as a trainer or an owner, or if you're betting on him, you know you're going to get the absolute most competent ride available.
We heard the real-time reports from Sean and Jeff trackside. Acacia was also standing by the rail to watch all the Oaks and Derby horses come by. Acacia, who caught your eye?
Well, we did see Carpe Diem running by, and we said, oh, that must be him. He's going sideways. So he was a little bit of a spaz out there this morning. Somebody that did look really good to me, which is a horse that I'm a big fan of, too, is Upstart. I saw actually some pictures of him as a foal, and conformationally, which is something I always look at, he's pretty perfect. His legs are straight underneath him. His neck is beautiful. He looked really calm out there this morning. Condo Commando, who's running in the Oaks, was out there as well. I saw her win the Wood Memorial a few weeks ago over at Aqueduct, and when she came in the winner's circle, she was nice and calm, even though when she was running, she had her ears pinned and was all business, and she was going around the track a couple times this morning and looked pretty nice. Bolo is much bigger in person than you would assume from pictures, and then, of course, Dortmund is just a beast that everybody's looking to get a glimpse of, and he looked in pretty good form this morning as well.
Yeah, the Oaks horses, the Derby horses. You mentioned the name Condo Commando. Haven't heard much about her throughout the week, but she was so dominant on that Wood Memorial program. Yeah, she won the Gazelle by what? Open lengths. It was almost three lengths when they hit the wire. So she's a very talented filly as well. And that's the cool part about this time of the morning. You get the Oaks horses, the Derby horses. They're all out there together. And it's if you're a horse racing fan, there's no better place to be than right here at Churchill Downs right now.
Absolutely.
Acacia, you mentioned the conformational aspect
yes.
of the horses, and I found that interesting. Are you someone, and I think maybe anyone who loves the game goes through this, do you ever, like, while ago, walk up to that fence, say, man, it'd be fun to own one of these things someday?
Well, it's funny because I actually do. I run a nonprofit in Connecticut for X-race horses, so I've gotten a chance to work with a couple of horses that have been running on the track. So since 2011, when I was a kind of naive 18-year-old and said, I want to start a 501c3 for off-track thoroughbreds, I've gotten to work with about 15 thoroughbreds. We have two right now, a crazy chestnut mare, granddaughter of Secretariat, and another a gray mare who has affirmed in her bloodlines. And these two horses were just not meant for the racetrack, but they were meant for something else. And so I've gotten to know thoroughbreds pretty well as a breed.
A naive 18-year-old in 2011. Those are words that have never been echoed by our HRN team before, huh?
And I never heard a horse referred to as a spaz on our program, but I really liked it.
Yeah, a great description.
Thank you.
Jude, as someone who trained horses for a number of years, with Acacia referencing the charitable organization which she has formed to give thoroughbreds a life beyond the racetrack, as you've watched this sport evolve over the years, how much does that mean to you? you as a horseman to see these types of things happen?
Yeah, obviously I wasn't 18 in 2011. it's something that I have always been involved in, even before it was popular. I used to try to find homes for my horses because I love horses more than anything. So I had a horse that set a track record at Hollywood Park, and when he retired, we gave him to a park ranger in Yosemite, and he was a park ranger horse.
Oh, that's cool.
And he had a great life up there. I trained a horse for Vic Tabak that was a beautiful horse named Honto, and won like three races with him. And he pulled a suspensory. He couldn't be ridden anymore, but I found a lady that wanted a lawn ornament. She had a beautiful house with a big lawn, and she wanted to have a horse in her front yard. That horse had the best life. I mean, talk about pampered. So I always tried to find nice homes for the horses, but now I'm really happy that everybody is involved in this, and it seems to be a really popular thing because these horses, they give us a lot, and it's up to us to take care of them.
Well, the last post position drawn for the Kentucky Derby yesterday, to kind of shift gears here a little bit, was post position number one, and nobody wants to draw the one hole because it puts you at a bit of a disadvantage with the way that horses have to come out of that gate. Well, unfortunately, that went to Ocho 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 for trainer Jim Cassidy. He's with us here now on the Derby Countdown Show, his New York Yankee cap, which is customary. And I love the way you put it on my wife the other day, who was a big Red Sox fan, by the way. That was great.
And she looked much better for it.
Yeah, I mean, she did.
Really? I mean, it's a great picture.
It's an upgrade.
I know. You'll be in the front of DRF.
All right, take me back to yesterday afternoon. The last post position, you know you haven't been drawn yet. You know you're going to get it.
The drama.
Well, yeah, the drama.
The last pill out was the one. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot.
Anyway, yeah, a reporter asked me. He said, well, of course, you know they're going to go. And I said, no, that's what we wanted. I said, what? Oh, yeah, we were hoping to get the one.
What was the feeling like when you finally realized, okay, that's where we're going to be?
Well, I was sitting with my client, Darren. He's here. There he is right here. And he was really upset. And then, of course, the more he drank, the better he felt about it.
Wasn't that the advice you had from Bob Baffert as well?
Baffert told me, he says, look, you just keep drinking and that one hole will look great.
Trainer Jim Cassidy, Ocho, 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 breaking from the rail. You know, it's interesting, Jim, because we talk about the rail being a detriment, but if you look at it historically, it has produced the second most Derby winners with 8. Of course, the 5 and the 10 hole have produced 9, but you're sitting there with a horse that has some tactical speed. I guess it's all about the break from here, isn't it?
Well, the big thing for me is the load. Everybody loads quickly, so I'm not in there forever. And then we don't get the crunch going into the first turn where everybody tries to get position and everybody, you know, moves down toward the rail. So other than that, I'm okay with it. You know, there'll be speed in there next to me, and I'm hoping to sit right behind him, because unless, you know, nobody wants to go, which is not going to be the case, and I think that'll work out all right.
Yeah, with Carpe Diem and Materiality immediately to your outside, you got to figure both of those horses are going to leave.
That's right.
And you can suck along right behind. It might be the best thing ever happened.
That's right. That's correct, Jude. Yes.
Jim, with this horse, he seems to have a lot of fight in him. I don't ever fault any horse. I don't care where he finishes. If he runs his heart out and shows the ability to get in there and knock heads and give his all, this is a horse who seems to have that. Was he a natural at this, or is this a case where you as a trainer, have you had to teach him this? What's he been like?
No, he's pretty much of a natural at this. I mean, if you look at the race at Delta, it was as good a race as it could be. And even the Bluegrass last week or 2 weeks ago, it was he really went with Carpe Diem, and he went with him for quite a while.
He did.
And I really don't think he was fit enough for that race because he got nothing out of the San Felipe. So having said all that, I think he's sitting on go now. It's his third performance since he's back, and I think it'll be good.
A clear sign to me that he earned a lot of respect in that race. If you go back and watch the final furlong, even once Carpe Diem got the lead, John Velasquez kind of split his time between looking over the right shoulder to keep an eye on Dancing Moon, and he still, I noticed, kept peeking back over the left shoulder because he had a lot of respect for the way that horse fought.
Yeah, and I think, my personal opinion, I think that hurt Carpe Diem more than anybody expects because it made him go. And I thought he might because he didn't want us to open up five or six and we being the only real speed in the race. You know? Yeah. But this horse here, you can put him anywhere you want. So it's not like he's got to go and he's happy to go. No, you can take hold of him. He's quite lazy until you ask him to go.
Jim, you're going to give a leg up to Elvis Trujillo. He will be aboard Ocho 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 for the very first time on Saturday. What's the pre-race conversation like in the paddock?
Well, hopefully I'll talk to him before that, but
if he's sober up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, they got a lot of bourbon in this town. But they don't have much scotch. It really I'm just going to tell him exactly what I just said to you.
Yeah.
I expect those horses to go on the outside of him, and I'd like him to sit behind him. But then again, it's his race, you know. And, you know, I like the way Elvis rides. You know, he's not one of those that makes up his mind to do something. He'll sit there and wait and see how it unfolds. So he'll sit chilly. So it's not something I'm really concerned about.
Well, Jim, we followed this horse for the past several months and want to wish you all the best on Saturday. Hopefully everything goes well. Clean trip and may the best horse win. Good luck.
All right. Thanks very much.
Jim Cassidy here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to step away for another break. We'll come back with more from Churchill Downs. This is the Derby Countdown presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Want a grade one winner? He's sired 17. How about a millionaire? He's sired 11. What about a classic winner?
Yes, Rosselmeyer out of that corral! What a finish to the classic!
It only takes one. Distorted Humor, great sire. Visit WinStarFarm.com.
Who do you like to win the Kentucky Derby? No matter who you think is going to win the Run for the Roses, put your money down on the favorite, TwinSpires.com, the official online wagering site of the Kentucky Derby. Download the new TwinSpires app and bet the Derby from your iPhone or play from any smartphone, tablet, or laptop at TwinSpires.com. Sign up today for a $100 sign-up bonus. See site for details. TwinSpires.com, where players win.
Flatter, a graded son of APNB, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away, impressively, to win the Holy Bowl.
Kobe's back. Kobe's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter, at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine program, the University of Louisville Equine Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for over 25 years in equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Enjoy fractional racehorse ownership with a leader. In 2014, West Point Thoroughbreds led all North American-based public partnerships with over $4.4 million in purse earnings and 11 stakes wins. Own with a partnership that has delivered premium racing experiences for over 20 years, including a runner-up finish in last year's Kentucky Derby. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit WestPoint, T as in Tom, B as in Boy.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
The history.
Coming to the wire, Seattle Slough opens it to four lengths.
The majesty.
Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses.
The excitement.
Mind that bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports. The Kentucky Derby. This Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the quarter pole. Ocho, 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 trying to take it all the way up front for Santiago Gonzalez. Chased all the way by Carpe Diem. Classy Class is third. Danzig Moon in with a shot in fourth on the outside. Carpe Diem takes the lead. John Velasquez, a quick peek over his right shoulder. Danzig Moon coming. Ocho, Ocho, Ocho fought hard, but he's third. Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. It will be Carpe Diem. Rolling through Lexington and headed on for Churchill Downs. He wins it. Danzig Moon with a big effort was second. Ocho, Ocho, Ocho was third.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, Sean Clancy, Jeff Bloom, and Acacia Courtney. We are all with you. That is our entire broadcast team together as we get you set for the 141st Run for the Roses. However, gentlemen, before we get to the Run for the Roses, some business to tend to here on Friday afternoon with the Kentucky Oaks, and we're going to have that exclusive coverage for you, 3 to 6 Eastern Time, all presented by TwinSpires.com. And one person who knows the Kentucky Oaks pretty well and knows how to find his way to the winner's circle is former Kentucky Governor Brereton Jones. He is, of course, the principal of Airdrie Stud in Midway, Kentucky, and he's with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brereton, thanks for taking a little time.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for the invitation. I'm looking forward to it.
A two-time Kentucky Oaks winner, and now you have a pair of horses going in this year's race. Talk to me about them.
Well, I think it has something to do with good luck. And quite frankly, we could not be more excited about it. I must admit, as I was driving over here, I started thinking about when I was running for public office and compared that to running to try to win the Oaks with two fillies. And as God is my witness, I believe I'm more excited today than I was then.
Of course, the two fillies, Lovely Maria, who was a dominant winner of the Ashland Stakes at Keeneland, and then Include Betty, who maybe was a bit unexpected here. She was 18-1 when she won the Fantasy at Oaklawn.
Well, she's a come-from-behind horse, and she loves to just sit back and watch the others. And when the spirit moves her, she takes off, and we're hopeful the spirit's going to move her tomorrow.
Well, Rosie seems to get her in gear, huh?
Absolutely. No question about that. If you've got a good rider, you're way ahead of the game.
How about the thrill of winning at Keeneland, winning the Grade 1 Ashland with Lovely Maria? That had to be a very special day for you.
It was a special day because Keeneland's a very special place. And that was the first time that I'd ever won a Grade 1 at Keeneland. We'd won Grade 1s at many of the other tracks, but not at Keeneland. And certainly that's very special.
You wanted that Kurt Becker call on your highlight.
That's right.
And you know, Governor, there was an extra dimension that day with the journeyman jockey Kerwin Clark got his first career Grade 1 victory. So many great storylines with Lovely Maria. But I want to ask you about Include Betty. And here's what I want to know. I know when I look at the program, you own her in partnership with your longtime general manager at Airdrie, Tim Thornton. Tim is always so laid back at the sales when we talk to him when it comes time to sell the yearling crop, and he'll sit down and discuss the crop with the auction crew. Is he this laid back when he goes to the races?
Tim is not as laid back as you think he is, but he appears to be laid back. So he makes a great presentation wherever he goes.
he is someone that I know has been part of your staff for a long time, I think, dating back to the late 1980s, perhaps. Does he get involved with racehorse partnerships very much with you?
Just a few. Not many, but in this particular case, this was a filly that we tried to sell. You know, it was an RNA, and consequently, when we got back to the barn, got back to the farm after the sale, we were looking at the ones that we had RNA'd, and Tim asked me if I would be interested in selling him a piece of this filly. So we had bought her back. I had bought her back in the sale. And consequently, we went ahead and made that arrangement, and It's worked out very well for both of us.
Backed into a swamp on that one. Governor, good to see you attending the sales. This filly we had to buy back.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the hallmarks of what Governor Jones does at the sale. You have a price, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you have a price in mind for a horse that you think is fair.
Absolutely.
And if you get that price, then you sell the horse. If you don't get that price, you take it home. And I think that's one of the beauties. When you go to the Airdrie consignment and you talk to Governor Jones or you talk to Brett, they'll tell you, this is what we think this filly's worth, you know. And it's all an upfront deal. There's no mystery to it because they don't need to sell them. They can keep them. True. The way this guy picks out stallions, it's like, you know, freakishly good.
<Right.
laughs> So we just keep the ones that nobody else wants. So here's a case. Not a, how silly are the purchasers when the man that bred the horse and the farm manager want to partner up on this horse and nobody bought it.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
I must admit that over the years we've been involved with this for such a long time, and to be able to watch it develop as it has, of course, is a source of great pride to all of us. And when we put that reserve, as you just indicated, if we're asked what our reserve is, we'll tell people, you know, what it is. And we think that the horse is worth more than that. And if they don't, then obviously they shouldn't bid on it. But it's worked out well for us, and it's worked out well for a lot of people. A lot of people have bought a lot of good graded stakes winning horses from Airdrie, and I hope that they'll buy many more.
Visiting with Brandon Jones on the Derby Countdown Show, presented by Lexington area Jimmy Johns here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brandon, each of your Oaks contenders this year are by your Airdrie stallions. Include Betty is by Include, and of course, Lovely Maria by Majestic Perfection.
Yes.
How significant is that?
Well, that's obviously just as significant, or maybe even more so than it appears, because when people realize not only that you're willing to race your own horses, but you breed your own horses, and they develop confidence, I think. If they don't develop the confidence, then we take them to the track and develop the confidence.
Just a few moments ago, Kurt alluded to jockey Kerwin Clark, the 56-year-old who won his first Grade One with, yes, Lovely Maria, just like you won your first Grade One at Keeneland.
Yeah.
That was his first Grade One in his career. He had to wait 40 years for it to happen. It finally did. After the race, he was quoted as saying that yourself and trainer Larry Jones have not only made him a better jockey, but a better person. You've helped a lot of people along the way. What's that mean to you?
Well, we try. I mean, people who help people generally talk too much about that. It's quite frankly better to help people and you know, when the good Lord asks you to do something, you need to step forward and do it. And I don't want to talk too much about that, but it is something that is very meaningful to all of us at Airdrie, and a guy like Kerwin Clark comes along, and this guy's for real. I mean, this is a wonderful guy, and he's got a great heart. He's got great morality to him. Great ability to ride a horse, and how can you do better than that?
One last question before we let you go: what would you want people to know about Kentucky Derby Week here in the Bluegrass State?
Well, it's the greatest place in the world to be, because there are so many great people that come around, and as I stand here and watch people that are jockeys and trainers, so many of them that I know come forward, and I started thinking as I was driving over here about how all this transpires, and someone had asked me yesterday about what I thought allowed us to do as well as it appears that we've done, and I said to them that if you surround yourself with the top trainers and let the trainers train and the top jockeys and let the jockeys ride and then leave them alone and then surround yourself with good people, generally good things happen. It's that cooperation with the good people and the good jockeys and the good trainers. And to tell you the truth, I'm not the one doing much of that. I'm just standing back now and cheering them on because these are people that know what you're doing, and God bless every one of them.
Former Kentucky Governor Brereton Jones here on the Derby Countdown. Brereton, all the best on Friday. Let's go get number three.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, Brereton Jones here on HRRN. And boy, some great things there from the former governor, Kurt.
And you know, we didn't even get to some of the other aspects of the Airdrie operation. They've got the first crop by their stallion Creative Cause will be offered as yearlings this fall. Haynesfield, his first crop goes to the track as two-year-olds this year. Divine Park is the sire of one of the top fillies in the country, and Lady Eli, her specialty tends to be more grass than dirt, but she does it so well. There's probably a good time to be involved at Airdrie.
Well, it's always been a good time. I mean, Governor Jones is really, I wasn't just blowing smoke this morning. He's one of the best stallion pickers that I've ever seen, maybe the best. I mean, he comes up with horses that aren't necessarily highly fashionable that turn out to be excellent stallions. I mean, just look back on Indian Charlie for one.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a great knack. And Airdrie's a great farm and always a pleasure to do business with.
We're going to step away for another break. We're back with more from Churchill Downs here on the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 141st Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His three first crop stakes winners in 2015 are more than any other second crop sire in the U.S., highlighted by the Kentucky Oaks-bound Lovely Maria, dominant winner of Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland Stakes.
Lovely Maria for Kerwin Boo Boo Clark, opening up by a length and a half.
Brilliant on the track and an emerging star at stud. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection. Think about it. Did you know 30% of this year's Derby starters are by Spendthrift Stallions?
Solo absolutely annihilated them. Turning line by 15 lengths.
Danzig Moon comes home a convincing five-length winner.
Mr. Z Tenacious.
Stanford was made a very easy lead in the shadow of the half-mile pole.
Ten Sendor turns for home in front.
All sired by Spendthrift Stallions. If you're looking for a starter the first Saturday in May, breed Spendthrift. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
The history.
Coming to the wire, Seattle Smooth opens it to four lengths.
The majesty.
Big Brown bounding home to a convincing end in the Run for the Roses.
The excitement.
Flying Bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports. The Kentucky Derby this Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
With the $1 million Santa Anita Derby, and Dortmund has opened up on them. And it's Dortmund gone clear now to lead it by four. Bolo down the center of the track. One Lucky Dane, Prospect Park down at the rail. They're all chasing Dortmund, who's clear by five with a 16th to go. And Dortmund, another superb performance. Never looked like losing the Santa Anita Derby. Romps to an easy win under Martin Garcia. One Lucky Dane was second. Then there's three in the line for third. Prospect Park, Bolo, and Cross the Line. And last of all is Bad Reed Sanchez.
So many of the fans and horsemen that were in attendance just a short time ago for the Oaks and Derby horses have begun to file out of the backside of Churchill Downs. Most of the trainers now holding press conferences at their respective barns, and we are getting closer to the 141st Kentucky Derby here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have you back with us, just about 30 yards from this historic main track at Churchill Downs, and ready to roll for the next 40 minutes or so this morning. We're back tomorrow morning with another edition of the Derby Countdown Show. You're going to hear several different interviews that we've done throughout the week. Todd Pletcher, for example, Ron Moquette, who sends out Far Right, had a lot of fun with him yesterday. You're going to hear that interview tomorrow morning. Larry Colmus, the voice of racing on NBC, is going to be with us as well tomorrow, so we'll talk to him about calling the Kentucky Derby. And then we segue into our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks from 3 to 6, and then back here on Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern with our Equine Forum show. 2 o'clock Eastern is when we hit the airwaves for the Derby undercard coverage, and we'll take you all the way through Derby 141 is your home. You can see a complete schedule, listing of affiliates, and Sirius XM channel information on our website at horseracingradio.net.
Every time you mention that Larry Colmus is coming on as a guest,
my heart just flutters. Oh, my heart flutters.
Dreamy over here.
Bert's eyes just flutter. It's unbelievable.
Did I tell you my idea? Did I tell you what I came up with for Halloween? Larry Colmus and I going as Penn and Teller.
I think it's excellent.
Yes. I've actually got Larry on board. Now, if I can just get NBC to get me a matching suit.
But who's Penn and who's Teller?
You remember when we had Larry on in 2011, which was the first year he did the NBC deal, and we were simply having a discussion on the air about binoculars that have the image stabilizer feature, and how no matter how nervous you get, no matter how much your hands shake, the image stays focused. And I remember at some point Sean broke in. He said, "Do we have nothing better to discuss Derby week than vibrating binoculars?"
How about that Musco lighting?
Musco lighting. Tell you.
Yeah, well, looking forward to visiting with Larry tomorrow morning, by the way. Should be fun. No?
Oh, look, he's great. It's fun to listen to him and hear his stories. And, he's got a pressure day, 20 horses. I'm sure he's already got it all memorized and has his lines set out.
All right, we talked briefly with Acacia after she returned from watching the Oaks and Derby horses and got her thoughts on who looked good. And one name that she mentioned was the same name that Jeff mentioned and that Sean mentioned. We've heard that name thrown around the past couple of mornings, and that's New York bred Upstart, one of a record three New York breds going to the post in this year's Kentucky Derby. Jeff, outside of Upstart, who else kind of caught your eye out there this morning?
Yeah, first, let me shout out to the unsung heroes. I'll tell you, those security guys that are standing at the gap trying to keep the horses in the clear. When Bayern was coming off the track right after the Derby horses and Oaks horses were out there, people were actually reaching out and touching the horse. I mean, it was just madness standing around the gaps. But, of course, Upstart, we talked about all morning long. Firing Line is another horse that I think is coming into the race as good as could be expected. And certainly this morning was very full of himself, but in a controlled fashion. And really striding out well, getting over the track exceptionally well. So Firing Line is definitely another horse that stands out. And then, I'm going to go back to American Pharoah. American Pharoah, you can't say enough positive things about. He just floats over this track. He's incredibly well composed, handles himself extremely well. And so, coming in as a favorite and expected to be the favorite when they go to post time, and certainly showing the part this morning when he was galloping over the racetrack.
Sean, how about for you? Who were some of the horses that really stood out?
I think we're all basically on the same page. I thought Upstart trained great. He's just got a real light, fluid way of moving. He's filled out. He looks like a bigger, better horse than last year. I thought Firing Line looked good. Kind of a cool-looking horse, nice type, sound, travels well. Out of a bomb, I thought Bolo was kind of a cool-looking horse. I didn't particularly like him on form, but I thought he was he's kind of a really attractive-looking horse. I didn't know who it was when he's walking to me. I thought, wow, here's a Derby horse. Look at this horse. And I thought he trained well, but that's a total bomb.
What do you think about Upstart and Missing Time with the fever and that? Do you think that's a big factor going into the Derby?
It doesn't bother me that much with him because he's had a lot. He's had plenty of races. And he's, I think I like those horses. That's, he's went to the Breeders' Cup last year. He's been battle tested. It doesn't bother me with him. I don't like those horses. If a horse loses time that was really, just getting there and maybe was a little bit behind the eight ball anyway, it would worry me. But with him, it wouldn't worry me.
It's interesting because we did catch up with trainer Rick Violet, who sends out Upstart. We caught up with him at our post position draw coverage yesterday, and we asked him that very same question. And Kurt, he described it as a non-issue. He said that setback really wasn't even a setback, and he's doing so well right now. You could tell, Jude always talks about reading between the lines with trainers, and Rick Violet was really, really excited about Upstart coming into this race on Saturday.
I think people that know Rick know that this is a Massachusetts-born New York resident, longtime New York-based trainer, that he's going to shoot straight with you. I mean, Rick, we talked to him a year ago. Of course, he had Samrat in the Derby, who I thought ran a nice race. He finished fifth and was in the thick of it all the way around both turns and fought very, very hard. But Rick's the kind of guy, no matter what you discuss with him, he'll shoot straight with you. He'll tell you what's going on, and he does have a lot of confidence in this horse.
He does, and Rick's also the kind of trainer that's not going to just take a chance. I mean, if he didn't really feel 100% that his horse was, in fact, 100% in good health, he's not going to bring a horse to the Derby. He's going to talk to his owners and say, hey, it's just not the right thing to do. And I can tell you this much, watching the horse train on the track the last couple of mornings, he's showing no signs or any ill effects from having that slight virus he had.
Yeah, if you know Rick Violet, he does. He tells you exactly what he thinks all the time. I had a discussion once, and I had messed up something, and I said, look, Rick, it's my fault. It's my fault. He goes, I know it's your fault. What are you going to do about it? Like, most guys are like, well, that's okay. He's like, I know it's your fault.
Yeah, Rick Violet, a straight shooter. He's going to tell you what he thinks.
One quick note, going back to something Jeff Bloom mentioned a moment ago, and I know our focus is the Derby, but so many great undercard races for both the Oaks card tomorrow and the Derby card on Saturday. And Jeff had made reference to seeing Byrne coming off the racetrack a while ago. And don't forget, that horse, last time we saw him, he was going a mile and a quarter winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. He shortens up 7 furlongs for his season debut coming up here in the Churchill Downstakes on Saturday. He's the even money favorite. Had to go back and look. The last time he ran at 7 furlongs, he won by 7.5 lengths in the Woody Stevens at Belmont Park. Pretty versatile horse.
That's because that's what he really wants to do, I think.
Yeah.
He stretches his speed, but I think he's a tremendous sprinter.
Acacia, were you at the Breeders' Cup this year?
I was at the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
I got to go for a couple of days. It was also my first Breeders' Cup experience. And Santa Anita, first of all, is beautiful. And it's kind of similar to here, where you see a lot of people out in the mornings interested in watching the horses work and looking to see how they may run later on in the week or later on in the day. And I think that that's one of the most exciting parts about it, is being here in the morning to kind of get your ideas and take your notes early on.
All right, your first impressions of Derby week on the backside here at Churchill Downs.
There's a great energy. One of the things that I love so much is that it's kind of like a reunion. Like, you're walking around, it's like you're seeing your high school class again. Everybody from all over the country, all over the world, is here for these big race days. People are hugging, they're excited, they're talking about things that they've been studying now for months with all of these prep races coming up since the fall. We've all been following. We're all excited for this one moment that people, whether you're a horse racing fan or not, you're most likely to turn in this weekend and check things out. So everybody's excited. Everybody's looking forward to it. Like former Governor Jones was saying before, there's no better place to be than here in Kentucky right now.
Acacia, the people in my high school class used to stuff me in the locker a lot.
Oh.
No.
I agree with you about it. It is like old home week.
A lot of towels.
Right. Yeah. When I was a freshman, I was in a PE class with a bunch of seniors. It would have been bad enough being there with freshmen. I'm not an athlete of any kind. It was awful. That's a topic for another day.
You want to see my shocked face?
You know who I like? You want just kind of a sentimental type horse to follow. Have you men and women, have you read the story on Tensendor, the George Weaver trained New York bred? Yeah. I identify with this horse because the folks at the farm near Albany who foaled him and raised him, they were quoted in a story this week as saying he was a total mama's boy. Mm-hmm. He was scared of the other horses. He was timid. When they went through the weaning process, they said he cried for 2 days. He was looking for his mom. They said he was, just based on his personality, the last horse that you might have thought would end up being a runner-up in the Wood Memorial and now running in the Kentucky Derby.
This is the horse you relate with.
I'm just being honest. You know,
have you seen him when the Sinclair sisters beat him out of the blue ribbon? He cries for 3 days.
Listen to the man. He knows me better than anyone.
Well, I was actually standing behind one of the owners of Tensendor at the Wood Memorial, and she turned around and she said, "That's my horse. We're so excited." And they were so thrilled to see him do well and to be a runner-up. And he put forth a very good effort in the Wood Memorial. I don't think a lot of people saw him come in and expected him to finish so well in that race. And, of course, it was exciting to see another New York horse get to go to the Derby. But they just seem like they're on a dream ride with him, which is great.
Why not? That's what the Kentucky Derby is all about. Hopes, dreams, that's what the business that we are in is built upon. And a dream will come true Saturday afternoon in the 141st Run for the Roses. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, Sean Clancy caught up with Bob Baffert earlier this morning. We're going to have that interview for you. Do not miss it on the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
ExpressBet's free Kentucky Derby wagering guide is the best place to begin your attack on the Run for the Roses. It's free, informative, and available online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 24th. NBC's Bob Neumeier and Mike Battaglia, Santa Anita's John White and Jeff Siegel, Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi, and At the Races radio host Steve Bick deliver main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies for the big race. Plus, you get intriguing stats and trends, and know this, facts and figures. This season, the guide will be updated following the post-position draw and include noted clocker Gary Young's outstanding workout analysis. ExpressBet's free Kentucky Derby wagering guide is one piece of the Derby puzzle you don't want to miss. Go to ExpressBet.com to get the guide, to open a new account, and to get a $125 bonus in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
New to EchoBase.com, just in time for the Kentucky Oaks and Derby day pass plans that will save you money. Each day pass plan provides unlimited race day access. Pick up a PP day pass and enjoy PPs for as little as 29 cents per card. Get our bronze, silver, and gold passes for huge discounts on a variety of products, including PPs and selections. Just looking to play Churchill Downs this weekend? With a daily Churchill Downs track pass, you can get 8 different products to help you win big. Select the money-saving day pass that's right for you at EchoBase.com.
Ramsey Farms Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A 2-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that's come down to a bob.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million, an earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for 12,500 at Ramsey Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine program, the University of Louisville Equine Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for over 25 years in equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Kentucky Oaks, 141.
And racing towards a life, Believe You Can, wins the Oaks for Rosie Napravnik. Princess of Silmar for a shock at 36-1 in the Kentucky Oaks.
She is unstoppable. She is uncatchable. She is untappable. She wins the Kentucky Oaks.
Tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by TwinSpires.com.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There's a new leader at the top of the stretch. It's American Pharoah, putting away Bridget's Big Lovey. Mr. Z moves into second. On the outside, Win the Space and the Truth or Else. There's an eighth of a mile to go, and American Pharoah is putting on a show. He has not been asked the question, but everyone knows the answer. He is indeed the ruler, American Pharoah. Breathtaking in a mesmerizing performance as he dominates the Arkansas Derby. Far Right was second. Mr. Z in a battle with Made from Lucky and Bold Conquest. That is one special horse.
Oh, once again, Frank Miramati with the call of the Arkansas Derby and American Pharoah, the Kentucky Derby favorite from post position number 18, dominated the Arkansas Derby in his prep race for the Kentucky Derby. He would be just the third Arkansas Derby winner to win the Kentucky Derby, the first since Smarty Jones in 2004, if he can pull it off on Saturday afternoon. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, seeking his fourth Derby win, and that would put him into some very elite company. He would join fellow Hall of Famers Dwayne Lucas and Derby Dick Thompson in a tie for second most Derby victories all time, behind only the great Plain Ben Jones, who has six.
The Arkansas Derby has occasionally produced these visually spectacular winners. You go back several years to Balto Star. You think after that, of course, more recently, Bodie Meister, American Pharoah. This year, Curlin was a horse that won the Arkansas Derby pretty convincingly. It doesn't always translate to success in terms of a win on the first Saturday in May, though, does it, Jude?
No. I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to win any race. And then you come to the Kentucky Derby, and it's a 20-horse field, and trip is crucial.
Yeah.
A lot of times luck is involved, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's only going to be one winner, unless there's a dead heat. Probably not going to happen.
Well, I mentioned we're going to hear the interview with Bob Baffert. Sean had a chance to catch up with him earlier this morning. Sean, it's been 13 years since Bob Baffert last won the Derby. That was in 2002 with War Emblem, ridden by Victor Espinoza. Victor back aboard his favorite American Pharoah this year. And I know Bob was very forthcoming on a couple of things, and he's a person that has a very quick wit, and I think he's known for that quick wit, but he is one of the top trainers in the game today.
He's one of the greats. I mean, if you look back at his history of the Kentucky Derby, he's done it all. I mean, he's had this, you know, the Cavalier, the last note, you know, the last jump on the line, he gets beat, and all the way to, you know, the disappointments of Point Given, and Bodie Meister leads inside the furlong at pole and gets beat, and then the, you know, the War Emblems, Real Quiets, those type of Silver Charms. You know, he's done it all. I mean, he's lived as far as a trainer goes, he's lived the entire spectrum of the Kentucky Derby, from the bitter disappointments to the euphoria of winning it three times.
Well, here's what Bob Baffert had to say about being back in the Kentucky Derby this year.
Here with Bob Baffert, three-time winning Kentucky Derby, going for your fourth. What would it be like to win your fourth?
Well, I think it's been so long since we won the last Derby. It's sort of like this will be like winning the first Derby. So we're looking forward to it, and exciting that, you know, we've been coming here for so many years, and, you know, we've gotten close, and there's been a lot of heartaches and tough beats, but, you know, there's nothing like, you know, coming in here, feeling the fortune that I'm so fortunate to have another chance like that with two really good horses, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, describe your confidence level, Dortmund and American Pharoah. You've got to be very confident with both of them.
Well, they look really well. They've you know, they have their works. They've been training. They look great out here. They're you know, look fantastic on the track. So I think that you still have to have the racing luck with the 20 horses and all. And after going through the draw, that was probably so. It was pretty a lot of anxiety waiting for those numbers. They pulled out 10 horses and still hadn't pulled out any of mine. So I would just. For some reason, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to be stuck in the dreaded one hole, and I was going to give it out a big yeah, you know, but I was prepared for it, but it worked out all right, and I think, you know, I think our post positions aren't too bad.
You've come here before with horses with big chances. Your confidence level this year with these two, could you say you'd be the most confident this year as far as two horses getting here?
I think the way I got them here and the way they're doing, it's hard to get two horses here doing fantastic, and they both are. And so, but there's some other good horses in here. It's a pretty deep field, and if they just had a 14-horse gate, you'd look at it and say, wow, this is going to be – this is a field that you're going to look down the road and say, wow, this horse is in here, so it's pretty tough. And, we don't know, we know Dortmund is a good horse, and he's been tested. He's run some big races, been tested pretty well. So Pharaoh, we're always hoping that Pharaoh is better than Dortmund because we know how good Dortmund is. So, and he hasn't been tested yet. It's going to be, we'll find out.
You never lined them up in the dark and, put them together and, figured it out?
I probably maybe took them out one day and just let them rip together, but then I probably wouldn't be here with you, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those two, your first impressions of those two when you got them, how surprised, not surprised getting them to the Kentucky Derby.
Pharaoh, he was working really well when I got him. And then the Dortmund I had him down at Los Alamitos, and he was coming along pretty well. And Mike Marlowe, my assistant, says, boy, this colt can really, he's really something special. So I pulled him out of there and started working with him. And he just seemed like a big, I called him Dorky at the beginning, just a big old colt. So I remember one day I thought, I wonder if he has any speed. So I told him to leave the pole, and I'm going 5/8 with him. And all of a sudden, I look down. He comes to the eighth pole. He's going 45-4. And I remember yelling in the radio to Martine, pull him up. He's fast, pull him up. And then after that, we never asked him for speed like that again. And just... he ran his first race with blinkers. He almost climbed over horses. He got away a little slow, but ever since that, he's just been really genuine. But he's a tough horse. He can take a lot. He's a little bit of a handful. I know I'll have a little in the paddock we're schooling him. He can be a little tough. At Santa Anita, they have a saddling box where you can take him in there where they're easy to saddle. But here they don't have that here, So. We were trying to figure out how we're going to get him saddled tomorrow, but it's going to be a little bit of a chore. I told Jimmy, I got those. He almost stepped on my Ferragamos there in Santa Anita. I don't want to. They're going to be Ferragoners if I didn't move my foot really quick. Break a toe. But he's so big, he's tough.
And describe for you. You've been here for many years, all the way back to Cavanier. Describe the emotions or the stress level, the nerves over the years. Has it changed? Is it different now than it was the first day?
I think the older you get, I think there's more stress because you feel like, I'm getting older now. Maybe I won't get this chance again. And you have two really good horses. If the horses didn't figure, there's no stress. You just enjoy it. And hope somebody invites you to talk to them, or maybe get a reporter or two during the day so you can, give them some little words of wisdom or your opinions. But when you have two horses like this, I think the stress comes from the media crunch. It's like, everybody wants to do radio. They want to do stories. And, everybody knows everything about me. And, they want to talk about the horses. And so I think if I could come in here and just... and I tell people, yeah, sure, I'll do it. But I don't write anything down. All of a sudden, I get a call, and, I did a 20-minute thing with some radio show in Madrid, Spain, yesterday.
Yeah, it's a great show.
And so the guy he was asking me questions, and then he'd tell the questions he's asking me. Finally, I told the guy, dude, you can ask me in Spanish. I can answer it. I know Spanish, so we need to cut this thing down a little bit. But it's good. Australia. I talked to Australia. We talked about that. And, so it's a worldwide event. And this is a time we want to promote racing. And, a lot of people, they want to know would go through my mind. And, you know, I've basically been telling them, you know, we've basically, you know, been crapping in our pants all week long. So that's the way it is. The trainers are, believe me, when you have a good horse, you're nervous, anxiety's high, you're edgy. And when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I was got, hey, I'd be interested in selling you some. I got this product. Hey, talk to me next week, will you? I don't, you know, but we're on edge.
Is it enjoyable? I mean, when do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. We really, finally at the end of the night, we go to dinner, we start talking about it, you know, like yesterday was really, really stressful. And the draw was really stressful. I wish you'd go back to the other where you picked your spot, or at least the point getters. I like to see the 10 point, you know, use the points for something, you know. Maybe get the first 10 guys to pick a spot and the other 10 guys. So, but that's pretty stressful, the pulling of the pills.
What's best case and worst case scenario for these two horses individually?
Worst case scenario?
As far as trip or preparation, you know, the proceedings beforeforehand. I mean, you worry about it.
Well, if I told you that, then the horses next to me would be saying, hey, you know what we can do? If they don't fire, you know, if they don't fire, that's the whole deal. You want them to fire. And, you know, you can set them up there thinking they're doing great, and all of a sudden at the 3/8 pole, there's black smoke coming out of their butt, and they're not running, you know. So, you know, we want them running. I want those boys to, when they hit the 3/8 pole, like they're starting to move, and that rush, when they turn for home, if they're there, then that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a good feeling if they're still there. And, you know, I'm hoping that Victor, when he comes to the quarter pole, that he still looks like he did at Oaklawn. That'd be a good feeling. And so, and Dortmund, I mean, he loves this track. He does not like Santa Anita. So he'll move way up on this track. So I see at least 5 lengths he'll move up on Churchill.
And you live through both when a horse isn't firing and when they are firing at the 3/8 pole.
Yeah, if they're not running, you just go like, you know, well, wasn't his day, or, you know, what, you know, I must have not prepared him the way I thought I did or something, you know, they just. When it doesn't happen, you just try to sneak out as quickly you can. Get to your car so you can beat the traffic out. That's usually I have an exit plan always.
That's Bob Baffert, 3-time winning Kentucky Derby trainer, going for 4.
Hall of Famer Bob Baffert here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, you know, you hear from Bob there. You hear him talk about several different things. One thing that was very evident in that interview, Sean, was the fact that here he is going through this again, and it's not like he's a rookie here at the Derby, but it's very exhausting, and you can only imagine what somebody like, say, Ron Moquette, who was here for the very first time, what he's going through, because here's Bob, he's been here, done that, and he talked about that exhausting nature of it, and his last thing there, you have to have an exit plan here at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about training horses, you deal with the losses, and you deal with a few wins, and you deal with the many losses. And, you know, this game, the spotlight's a guy like on Bob Baffert more than anybody as far as a trainer goes. I mean, everybody's watching him, so how he handles defeat and victory is important. And I'm sure over the years he's tried to learn how to deal with it better. You have to. And, you know, if you look at his career, he's done it all in the Derby. He gets beat that rotten nose with Cavanier, one of his first ones, probably thinking, man, that was it. That was my one chance. And then to win it 3 times. But then also those defeats, man, you know, bring, I think Point Given, I think he was probably, I'm not sure he'd tell you that, but that was probably the most confident he ever walked over here. And the horse, you know, he really never ran his race. And so, yeah, he's done it all in the Derby. And, you know, he's got a chance to, you know, he could have one of the greatest days on Saturday or one of the worst. You lead 2 favorites over there, and they don't, like he says, if they don't fire, wow, what a disappointment.
Yeah, if they don't fire, he's got an exit strategy, which is typical Bob. I mean, and he will be out of the grandstand faster than anybody. But, you know, he's really bringing a nice group of horses here. I mean, not only for the Derby, but the undercard horses, and he's loaded for bear, as they say. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Derby pans out. But he's got a lot of other bullets in the holster, too. So it's a big, big weekend for him.
it caught my attention, Sean, when Bob said regarding Dortmund that he thinks that Churchill Downs, this racetrack, will improve him by five lengths. I think every year, rightly or wrongly, a lot of us tend to look at the prep races and we assume by this point we've seen the best that these horses have to offer. And like with a deep crop, we wonder, okay, will the best that one horse has already shown us be enough to beat the best that this other horse has shown us? When he said that regarding an unbeaten racehorse who's been so impressive in Dortmund, that's a pretty big statement.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, Dortmund has the best pace and speed figures in the field as far as I'm concerned, and that's a big edge. And on top of the fact, if you think he's going to be five lengths better than his best, they're going to have their running shoes on, and American Pharoah better be at the very top of his game.
And there's something to be said about these horses that are battle-tested. I mean, they're all young horses. Some have more experience than others, but the travel, too. Travel can take its toll on a horse. And until you've really tested a horse out with the travel, how they're going to adjust to a new barn, to the new track, to the surroundings, and Dortmund clearly has proven that he's battle-tested. And he, by the way, he's got a race over the track, and it's gone well. So he's certainly got everything lining up in the right way for him.
Yeah, we've talked about this several times over the past couple of weeks, is how big Dortmund really is. And Acacia, you saw him on the track. You came right back, and you said that he was just a beast. Is he that big in person?
He definitely is. And, you know, I was talking about confirmation a little bit earlier, and one of the things that I heard a lot of people saying about Dortmund's size was that they were concerned he might get stuck in traffic when he's actually running through the Derby, because with 20 horses, it's very hard to find a good spot to get through. I think his post position will be favorable for him in not getting stuck in traffic with his size, but seeing him in person, he's very impressive, very strong, looks very much on his toes and ready to go.
All right, so let's ask our two jockeys here, Jeff and Sean. Riding the Derby, 20 horses, a big horse like Dortmund, is that an advantage or a disadvantage in a big field like this?
I think, you know, usually with a big horse, it can be problematic if they're not real athletic or agile, because sometimes, you know, if you get them stopped, it takes a while to get them going again. And you really, if you get them stopped in the wrong place, it can be critical in terms of their overcoming the trouble. With Dortmund, I think, you know, Martin Garcia is in a unique situation, because as big as Dortmund is, it's an advantage. He can bully the other horses. He can push off the other horses. And I've seen Dortmund out there on the track, and he's really quick at adjusting, and he's nimble for a very big horse. He's certainly not going to be intimidated. And so when they're in a tight spot, or if they're in a tight spot, Dortmund's going to be the one that comes out on the better end of it.
Yeah, the most important thing is gears, and to be able to make a position, keep your position. And Dortmund's speed that he's shown these other races, he's got speed, as Bob talked about the day he was breezing so fast. You know, the most important thing for him is he's got gears, he has speed. You know, he can probably get where he wants to be. You don't want one of those big lumbering, you know, one-run closers in the Derby, because, you know, you're just beholden to everybody else's moves. This horse has got plenty of speed, plenty of gear, so I don't think it's that big a deal for him.
You've probably ridden more big horses than most of these jocks have, and, you know, I used to have a horse that was relatively large, and the jocks used to complain that their legs were sore when they came back because they had a hard time getting them around the horse. Is it tougher on a rider to ride a big horse like that?
I mean, the ones I was riding, they were like the farthest from Dortmund. You know, as my father used to say, he'd say, those guys tell you, yeah, he can run all day. You got to tell him, even a jump race isn't all day. So, you know, I was riding some big lumbering 4-milers, and, you know, those horses are tough because they're big and awkward, and they don't have any agility, and you're kind of constantly trying to keep them up in the bridle and move. And, you know, with a horse like Dortmund, I think with his speed, it offsets his, you know, any lumbering type of sensation you would get. You know, the biggest horse we've seen over the years that's been successful would be Zenyatta. And she was, you know, she was just that one-dimensional closer. And I think that with her style, it offset her size, where you just, you know, Mike Smith would just drop her out the back and make that big run. Now, if you were trying to, you know, if you were trying to keep her up in the race or keep her up in the bridle, keep her in position in between horses, you would have been really up against it, and it would have been tiring. You'd have been trying to keep her going and keep her moving. I think Mike knew, and everybody knew, she had such a great closing kick that you didn't have to worry about that. But Dortmund, I think I think you have both. You have speed and size. I don't think it's that. I just don't think it's an issue. I mean, if you didn't have that speed, then you really don't want that size because they're not nimble to make moves and come off horses' heels and move places and get around, and get in and out of trouble. He's got such speed. I think he probably should be able to maneuver his way into a good position.
How important is it in a race like the Derby? You know, Jeff and I have discussed this throughout the course of the week, just hanging around on the backstretch and trading thoughts. But Sean, regarding a jockey's perspective, I mean, it's a huge stage. Everybody's watching you. You've got your instructions from the trainer. But how important is it for a jockey to also be swift, decisive, and frankly aggressive in what he's going to do to react to how this race unfolds on Saturday?
Oh, and that's the most important thing. And the guys that we've seen it do well, that have done well in it over the years, are the guys that are making instinctive moves, and Mike Smiths and John Velasquez's and Calvin Burrell's, and it's all instinct. In a race, as soon as you've thought about the moment you think. Of something you should do, it's over. I mean, forget it's gone. Like, forget that. I mean, the moment you think, oh, should I be going? Well, it's too late. So it's all instincts. Confidence is huge. Some people do better. I mean, when I was riding, one guy, he'd be falling asleep in the jock's room. Oh, he rode great. When he'd be sitting there yawning and falling asleep, another guy's power, he's punching the air and shadow boxing and all fired up and crazy. And so it's really kind of what works for you, what style it works best. Whatever you do, you don't want to get out of your style. If that's how you ride, every day, you don't want to get out of that style for the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, guys with experience are going to be somewhat better at it because they've been in it before and should be able to be more instinctive. And having said that, we've seen guys, ride their first ones and ride it great. So, you watch Mike Smith, John Velasquez, Gary Stevens, those guys, they're just, it's all instinct and, the Derby for them, it's not that big a deal because they've been there before. They've been in major situations, and they rise to the occasion.
A lot of times jocks will tell you offline, if I wouldn't have listened to the trainer's instructions, I know I probably could have won the race, or things would have worked out a lot better. A lot of it comes down to confidence and, what kind of position or relationship that jockey has with the trainer. Kentucky Derby's a little bit different because it's a one-time thing. And so, the trainers that hire the jockeys to ride in a big race like this, they certainly have respect for them, and they have enough confidence in them to say, look, I want you to do this, and if the race unfolds this way, do this. But the reality is the jockeys are the professionals that are on the horse, and you need that guy that's on your horse to make those split-second decisions. And like Sean said, one of the first things that I was taught was, you're thinking a 16th of a mile ahead of you, because like you said, if you're trying to decide what to do in the heat of the moment, it's already too late. So these guys are all professionals, and they're going to make those adjustments.
Yeah, I think Governor Jones touched on that this morning. Let the trainers train, let the riders ride. And a lot of people could take that advice. As a former trainer, I could tell you, I don't know how a guy that's sitting in his office in Manhattan can tell me in California what to do with his horse. I think you should work that horse 5/8. I think you should go back to designing buildings and leave me alone. I mean, that's kind of the way that it should be. And that's one of the reasons that Governor Jones has such success.
Well, all of that preparation is now completed, and the Derby horses will make their way toward the starting gate shortly after 6:30 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. All the questions will be answered at that point, and no doubt many of those riders will have a few butterflies in their stomach, whether you're a veteran rider or you're a rookie rider here in the Derby. It doesn't matter. It affects everybody. And we're going to see which horse proves best on Saturday afternoon. You'll hear that coverage right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll tell you more about that when we come back, and we'll wrap up this edition of the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the 141st Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby.
D Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Faster?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son?
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
You wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Horse racing is a major professional sport where you can own your own team without spending millions to play. West Point Thoroughbreds can get you started competing in horse racing partnerships for a fraction of the cost of building a stable of your own. You don't need to know a lot about horse racing. West Point manages your horses. You show up on game day and enjoy all of the fun. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit West Point, T as in Tom, B as in boy.com. That's westpointtb.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away, impressively, to win the Holy Bowl.
Kobe's back. Kobe's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Who do you like to win the Kentucky Derby? No matter who you think is going to win the Run for the Roses, put your money down on the favorite, TwinSpires.com, the official online wagering site of the Kentucky Derby. Download the new TwinSpires app and bet the Derby from your iPhone or play from any smartphone, tablet, or laptop at TwinSpires.com. Sign up today for a $100 sign-up bonus. See site for details. TwinSpires.com, where players win.
Are you ready for more? 216 million in Prodigy sales worldwide. 140 stakes winners. 62 graded stakes winners. 18 grade one winners.
As they pass the eight ball, it's Daredevil with a four-length lead. And Daredevil with a sparkling performance here in the Champagne.
More than ready, the international sire. Visit WinStarFarm.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're coming for home in the Delta Downs jackpot, and Mr. Z strikes the lead. But on the inside, that's Ocho, Ocho, Ocho. He is right there, only a neck back. Saratoga Heater is racing in third. Far Right is rallying down on the inside. The rest are a ways back. It's Ocho, Ocho, Ocho coming to the 16th pole. Mr. Z is digging in gamely, but it's Ocho, Ocho, Ocho. Mr. Z sticks his neck out. It's going to be Ocho, Ocho, Ocho just getting there in time. Winning it in a tight photo over Mr. Z with Far Right third and Saratoga Heater fourth.
Ocho, Ocho, Ocho. 888. That was his hip number at the sale. And he is back in the Kentucky Derby. One of the long shots in here, 50-1 from that inside post position.
Did you see some wise guy tweeted during the post position draw, Uno, 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 after he drew the one hole?
Oh, come on. That's
yeah,
not nice.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, they've already been burdened with the number one post position. They had to rub it in.
Well, he's hoping he'll be numero uno on Saturday afternoon.
In this
at
race?
The end of the mile and a quarter journey.
Well, one never knows in this race.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and like you said, Jim Cassidy joined us earlier, and you could tell he wasn't thrilled with the post position by any stretch of the imagination. But what are you going to do? It's out of your control. You can't worry about it. You just have to go out and try to run a horse race.
And it had to make him feel better. You threw out that stat that the one post is what? The second
has produced
leading,
the second most Derby winner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that had to make him feel, I guess, a little bit better. And maybe some of the pressure that he had going into the race is a lot less now that he's got the one horse.
I didn't tell him you have to go all the way back to Ferdinand to find the last one, though.
I was going to say, yeah. There's, exactly. Acacia, were you even alive in 1986?
No, I was not. But I am going to the Ferdinand's Ball tonight with old friends, so I do know the Ferdinand story. But Ocho 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 is a smaller horse, and I saw that there's a lot of concerns that because he's small, he may kind of get pinned to the rail. But we were talking about Dortmund's size and getting stuck in traffic before, so I'm wondering if his size in the one post may actually be beneficial for this horse. He can squeeze on through, maybe have a little bit of a strategic ride there.
You better sign Acacia up for the 2015 season. And look, I'll be the first
to
admit,
thank you for that.
I'm bowing out because I know nothing about horsemanship or confirmation. No,
this is flirting.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, no personal information. Don't give him any personal information. Just so you know, bad enough he knows you're Miss Connecticut.
But I think that is a valid point. I mean, you're right with the way Ocho 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 is made. If somebody had to draw the one hole, he is a smaller horse. He's got speed and he can probably handle that better than a lot.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you think about what this horse will have to overcome. And again, he's 50-1 on the morning line, so unlikely to win the Kentucky Derby. But we saw it with Mind That Bird. We've seen it with Giacomo. I mean, these things do happen occasionally. But when you're talking about a field that is this strong, it's really hard to believe that any of those big long shots would jump up and be able to pull off the upset.
It would. You know, the thing that always amazed me about Mind That Bird, it wasn't so much the 50-1. That was obviously part of it. But when they left the first turn to start the run up the backstretch, he had totally lost contact with the field. And just, you go back, watch that tape, and you think every time there's no way he can get there. And he does.
All right, we are back tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, with another edition of the Derby Countdown Show. We'll shift gears and be front side in our 7th floor broadcast booth. Looking forward to bringing you that coverage. Larry Colmus is going to be with us tomorrow. You'll hear from Todd Pletcher, Calvin Burrell, and Ron Moquette. A very busy show tomorrow morning here on the network. And then, of course, coming back 3 to 6 Eastern with our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks, all presented by TwinSpires.com, and a busy day on Saturday as well, taking you all the way through Derby 141. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete broadcast schedule, SiriusXM information, and a listing of affiliates. Been a fun morning for our entire broadcast team, Sean Clancy, Jeff Bloom, Acacia Courtney, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker. I am Mike Pennell. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.